today as we come to the table.
And set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. That is only for that last final battle that I just told you about. He'll be released at the end of the 1,000 years for this last battle that we'll see here in just a moment. But I want to take a moment to talk about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, historically, the early church for the first 300 years took Revelation literally, which is how I believe we should take it. Now, there's a warning in Revelation chapter 2 saying, don't add to God's word in Revelation. Don't take away God's word in Revelation.
As Pastor Mark teaches through Revelation today, you may ask yourself, why will God release Satan at the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? There are some biblical questions which we cannot answer this side of glory because God has chosen to reserve some mysteries to himself, and we have a finite mind. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. The believers who live through the tribulation will be mortal. All those who are born during the millennium will enjoy the blessings of Christ's reign on the earth. But they will still be born with a sin nature, and they will have to repent and believe the gospel. Satan will be released to give these people a choice. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 20 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open up to Revelation chapter 20. If you remember, we looked at in 17 and 18, the destruction of spiritual Babylon and economic or physical Babylon and economic Babylon. Then we saw in chapter 19 last week, heaven rejoicing over the fact that Babylon was destroyed. And then we saw the second coming of Christ there at the end of chapter 19, where it showed the Lord coming back and striking the nations at what we call the Battle of Armageddon. Prophecy takes a while to sink in. So I want to try to repeat myself on certain aspects as much as possible. There are two battles that will take place in Jerusalem in the last days. And I say in Jerusalem. There are two battles in Israel that will take place. One will be what we know of as the Battle of Armageddon. And then before the Battle of Armageddon is the Ezekiel battle of Russia and Iran moving on the nation of Israel. And actually, let me expand that. If we want to go to the end of the 1,000 years, there are three more major battles the Bible talks about to happen there in Israel before the new heaven and the new earth. Here's how the scenario is going to lay out, and then we'll jump into chapter 20. The rapture of the church takes place. When that happens, there are 7 more years on the earth until the second coming. It's 7 years that God has promised the nation of Israel back from Daniel chapter 9. God has 7 more prophetic years he still owes them, if you want to look at it that way, prophetically. We'll be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb during that 7 years. The first 3.5 years of that 7 years, the world is at peace, so to speak. This world leader out of Europe and or the Middle East is leading the world, and there are no wars at that time, so it's at peace, although war is in his heart. Then the last 3.5 years, he declares himself to be God, and God says, that's it, you've gone too far, and God begins to pour out the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls on the earth in what we know of as the Great Tribulation and the wrath of God. And really, the Great Tribulation, although we oftentimes refer to it as that final 7 years, really the Great Tribulation is only the last 3.5 years of that. So you have the rapture, 3.5 years of false peace. The last 3.5, that's where Israel gets saved, and they'll believe in their Messiah, many Jews, hundreds of thousands saved. And then we get into the last 3.5 years, and you have the Great Tribulation. And then after the Great Tribulation, Armageddon. Now, sometime right around the rapture is that battle with Russia and Iran moving on Israel. So really, I said the rapture, but really right at the same time, somewhere around that time is when Russia and Iran moves on Israel. So if you see Russia and Iran begin that attack on Israel, just make sure you're ready. I don't know how long it'll be. I don't know the timing. The Bible doesn't tell us. But make sure you're ready now, because the rapture could happen before that battle and might very well happen before that battle. But when that battle takes place, it's going to be somewhere around there because God's going to pour his spirit out on the nation of Israel at that time. And we know that when God does that, he takes us home and we're gone. So, by the way, it is interesting to see that Russia and Iran, there they sit right now on Israel's border. So this could happen at any time. Again, we need to live as though the Lord's going to come back today, but we plan as though it's 100 years. That's the balance. Be ready. Be watching. So we get to the end of that final 7 years, the second coming. And that's what we saw last week, starting in verse 11 of chapter 19. The Lord coming back in the clouds, the saints with him, that's us. He speaks with his mouth and wipes out the armies that are gathered there in Armageddon, which is northern Israel, which is, by the way, the same place that the Russian-Iranian war will take place, is there in northern Israel. And Armageddon will not only be centered, it'll be centered there in northern Israel, but also it's going to be stretching the whole length of Israel down its eastern coast. So what separates it from all the Islamic countries, all down that coast, they'll be doing battle as well. The Lord's going to be doing battle there. And it says the blood, when he comes back, will run all the way from Armageddon all the way down to Petra. So we see that battle line, and probably because the armies are going to be trying to get the Jews that are in Petra during that last 3.5 years. Now, when that's done, Armageddon, the big battle, the Bible says Jesus will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. He's going to take his throne in Jerusalem. The entire topography of the earth is going to change. All the mountains will be thrown down. There'll be one mountain. It would appear there'll only be one mountain on earth during the 1,000-year reign, because it says that all the mountains will be leveled and thrown flat, and Jerusalem will be lifted up as the highest mountain on earth. On that highest place will be the Lord's throne, the Temple Mount, and he'll rule and reign, us ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years is the final battle. And from what we know in Scripture, this will be the last battle that ever takes place for eternity. Now, there may be something else the Lord's going to show us, but that's all we know from Scripture. And that is, at the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible says there'll be another final battle because there'll be people on the earth that are born during the millennial kingdom that will not give their life to Jesus and follow him. And believe it or not, Satan will be released. He's going to be bound during that 1,000 years. He'll be released at the very end. And the Bible tells us he'll gather all the people of the earth that don't love Jesus to come and fight the Lord and the saints one last time there in Jerusalem. And then God will send fire from heaven and destroy them. And then destroy all this, as we know, as the heaven and earth. And he'll make a brand new heaven and a new earth. Everybody got it? The more you hear it, the more it'll sink in. And I want to try to give you that picture more and more so you kind of get that timeline in your mind, because a lot of times people confuse Armageddon with the very battle at the end. Sometimes people confuse Armageddon with the Russian-Iranian battle. These are three separate battles. And then people get confused on the timeline. And we'll talk more about the literal 1,000 years right now, chapter 20. Verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Remember, the scripture refers to the center of the earth as the bottomless pit. And by the way, it would be a bottomless pit because of the gravity, the rotation of the earth, rather, and the fact that there's no bottom to it. It keeps spinning and turning, so you would just basically never reach bottom. You just kind of would be there in the middle. And this is where there are some holding tanks. We talked about Hades is there in the very center of the earth, the Bible tells us, where the unsaved dead currently reside. And also where some of the fallen angels are being held in a place called Tartarus. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter. And so remember we saw an angel coming from heaven and Satan basically given a key to the bottomless pit. And he was able to release the demonic realm. And they came out on the earth and they began to torment men for 5 months with stings of scorpions. We don't know what that's going to be like, but Scripture tells us that's what's going to happen. Now we see another angel coming down, but this angel is coming down to basically take Satan and throw him into this bottomless pit, the center of the earth, maybe Tartarus, maybe Hades, maybe a separate tank, it doesn't tell us, but somewhere in the center of the earth where he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. Notice what it says. This angel that came down, verse 2, laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That'll be while we are ruling and reigning with Jesus on the earth, he'll be bound in the center of the earth. Won't that be a great day? And notice, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Shut up, you know. And he set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. That is only for that last final battle that I just told you about. He'll be released at the end of the 1,000 years for this last battle that we'll see here in just a moment. But I want to take a moment to talk about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, historically, the early church for the first 300 years took Revelation literally, which is how I believe we should take it. Now, there's a warning in Revelation chapter 2 saying, don't add to God's word in Revelation. Don't take away God's word in Revelation. And for me personally, the only way that I can be sure that I'm not adding to it or taking away, by the way, it says if you add to it or take away from it, then you'll be added the plagues of Revelation. That's a pretty serious warning, isn't it? The only way I know to make sure that I don't add to God's word or take away from it is to take it literally. If I allegorize it, then it becomes whatever I think it might be. And if I'm wrong, I'm adding to it or I'm taking away. If I believe it's all just symbols and not literal, then I'm adding to it or taking away. So I'm not going there. I'm going to leave it as is, as the Lord said. So if the Lord says he's going to reign for 1,000 years on the earth, he's going to reign for 1,000 years on the earth. And I would rather stand before Jesus on Judgment Day and say, I just believed your word, and find out I'm wrong if I am. I'd rather do that. Then stand before him on Judgment Day and say, well, it couldn't have been a real literal 1,000-year reign, so I didn't really believe it, and then be wrong. I want to. If I'm guilty of something, it's going to be guilty of believing what he said. But I don't want to be adding to it, and I don't want to be taking away from it, because I don't want the plagues of the book upon me. And so Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Again, what a wonder. Can you imagine that? 1,000 years of Satan being bound. No temptation. No attacks, no demonic oppression, just Jesus and 1,000 years ruling and reigning with him on the earth. And by the way, it says the earth will be restored. God will have restored the earth, and it'll be like it was before the fall. Isn't that great? Just an amazing time. Now, there are other teachings out there, and just to make you aware of them, there is one called Amillennial, and it came much later in church history, and it's a belief that says that we are already in the millennial kingdom. It has already begun, and when the 1,000 years is done, then a new heaven and a new earth will be built or created and all that. The problem is, I don't think it takes much more than a day in our own life and watching the national news or the international news to realize that Satan is most certainly not bound. He's not bound. He's very active. And as the old, you know, adage goes, if he's bound, his chain is way too long. Because he is certainly at work in the world, and I think it's very evident to see that. So I have to reject that and basically take it literal. Now, you know, when you look at taking the Bible literal, by the way, all the prophets took the Bible literally. There's not one prophet you'll find in the Bible who didn't take it literally, not one. Did they have visions? Yeah. Did God use symbolism with them? Yes. But behind every vision and every symbol, there was a literal meaning every time. Jesus, every time he spoke and used the scriptures, always literal. But Mark, what about the parables? They still had a literal meaning. Every parable had a literal meaning. So everything you find in the scripture is literal. When you look at starting in Genesis all the way to the end of the Bible, you're going to find that all the prophets, and they all took the Bible literally. When the Lord said how long something was going to be, it was always literal. And so again, I see no reason not to see the literal 1,000-year reign here. And the Bible says that the Lord will rule and reign with the government upon his shoulders. You know, the Christmas verse, Isaiah, 9:2 and all that. That's never happened yet. So the Lord has not ruled with the universe, or rather the earth upon his shoulders, the government. And so there's going to be a literal 1,000 years of Jesus ruling and reigning on the earth. And notice verse 4, it says, and I saw thrones and they who sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, again, he's going to say that it's 1,000 years 6 times in this chapter. So I think the Lord is making a point. It's 1,000 years. Now, it's interesting. He says he saw thrones set up. Remember what the Lord told the disciples. He said, you will sit with me on thrones, ruling the tribes of Israel. So during the 1,000-year reign, we know that the disciples will have thrones. They'll be ruling with the Lord. They'll be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel, probably giving each of them a tribe. There's 12 apostles, and there's 12 tribes. So each one will have a tribe they're over, probably. We don't know that, but they're going to be ruling over. Maybe it's a mixture where they all rule over them together, but probably, you know, my guess is that each of those guys were all from a different tribe, and we just don't know it. And they're probably going to rule over their tribe, so to speak. And an honor that God gives them for following them. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute, Mark, what about Judas? You know, he dropped out. Well, I think that Paul was the replacement. Because with all the disciples, Jesus called them specifically and personally. And with Paul, he did the same thing. He called Paul specifically and purposefully, knocking him off of his horse and calling him to be his apostle. So we'll see those guys when we get into chapter 21 and their names on the foundation of the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, rather. So what about us? Will we be ruling and reigning? Absolutely. We're going to see that later. He talks about us ruling and reigning with him. Jesus said that the saints will also rule and reign with him. So we will also be ruling and reigning as kings in some capacity. It probably won't be over the 12 tribes of Israel, but it might be, you know, it just depends. And there's indications in Scripture, it depends on your faithfulness to the Lord, what your rulership will entail, you know. I'll probably step into my kingdom, but it'd be like one guy. Anyway, but God will divide that up the way he wants to, and depending on our faithfulness. And notice it says also, I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness for not taking the mark of the beast. So remember, we said this, for those who refuse to take the mark of the beast, they're going to be beheaded. You know, it's interesting. I remember years ago thinking about beheadings, thinking, you know, wow, beheadings, that's like so ancient. People don't behead anymore. Nobody gets beheaded anymore, do they? All of a sudden, in our generations, guess what's back in vogue? Beheading's the end thing in the Middle East, guys. And this world ruler over the Middle East and Europe is going to be employing this tactic. And he's going to be beheading anyone who doesn't take the mark of the beast on their hand or their forehead. And that's why, you know, when you hear people say, well, if I see the rapture take place, then I'll give my life to Jesus. Well, yeah, but you'll probably get your head cut off. So you can still be saved. If you miss the rapture, you can still say, okay, they were right. I believe. No, I believe. Great. But you're probably going to get your head cut off. I'm just giving you the bad news now. So you can make a decision before then. Because I'm not saying there won't be some who escape. Matter of fact, we know there are some who will escape. Because he's going to gather the sheep and goats before him at the end of the 1,000-year reign. And there'll be sheep on his right and goats on his left. So there will be some who escape. Large numbers around the earth, but many people are going to have their head cut off because they don't take the mark of the beast. These are the ones now he sees here in this vision who are there, the souls of them that have been beheaded, and they lived and reigned with the Lord 1,000 years as well. So they're going to be in the kingdom. It says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection. So we rule and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years on the earth, but those who don't know Jesus, that's the first resurrection. There are two resurrections the Bible talks about. That's the first resurrection. If you are a part of the first resurrection, you will never be a part of the second one. Okay? If you're not a part of the first resurrection, you're only going to be a part of the second resurrection, and that's the resurrection unto eternal judgment. So it's not one you want to be a part of. You know, it's been said that if you're born once, then you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll just die once, and then you're with the Lord forever because you're born again. But if you don't know the Lord, then you'll be resurrected unto judgment. Two resurrections, a resurrection unto life for those who know the Lord, and then a resurrection unto death. Well, those who are in the center of the earth in the bottomless pit right now in Hades who don't know Christ, they're still there right now. By the way, anybody that dies tonight who doesn't know Christ, that's where they go. They go to the center of the earth, the Bible tells us, in that place called Hades. And they're in there. They will stay there until the very end of the 1,000-year reign. So they've got a long time to go. And then at the end of the 1,000-year reign, they'll experience the second resurrection, which is where they'll be called up before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. And the Bible says it only goes from bad to worse because they go from Hades into the lake of fire, which is eternal. Now you see the urgency of sharing the gospel with people now before they die. It's a big deal. And so First resurrection, we're ruling and reigning with the Lord. The others are still there in the center of the earth in Hades. He says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Yeah, you're not kidding. Blessed and holy, that's great. I'm excited about the first resurrection. Over such, that is those people, the second death has no power. If you know Jesus and you're a part of the first resurrection, you're with him in the kingdom, you will never face God's judgment. It's done. Has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know, it's interesting. It says the second death has no power. In a minute, we're going to see that they stand before the Lord and he opens the books. The Bible says that everything we do is being recorded. NSA has nothing on the Lord. Matter of fact, they don't have near the information the Lord does on what we're doing. Now, some of you as believers just kind of, oh. The Lord sees everything we're doing, but the difference is if you're a believer, it's being erased. And it's not being erased on a hard drive that can be recovered. Once the blood touches this hard drive, it's done. It talks about he'll open the books. We'll get to that in a minute. It would appear there's going to be the word of God. The law is going to be there judging people on the law. If they're not perfect, they can't get in. If they've ever messed up once, their whole life. It says it's going to judge them on their works that they did while they were on the earth. There'll be another book of their works. Everything they've ever done. Ours has been erased. How many of you guys like God's eraser? You aren't kidding. This is enough to make me rejoice forever. And then, get this, it even says that every idle word that we speak is being recorded. I hate that guy. Sometimes. Let's add that addendum. Every idle word that we ever speak. Now, again, as a believer, we go, because the moment it comes out, it's erased. There's no hard drive. God's not collecting that information. It's gone by the blood. That's the beauty of the cross. But for every person who doesn't have the cross and the blood, every idle word. I have forgotten more than I remember. Can you remember? Imagine staying before the Lord and not just being judged on the law, perfection, or judged by everything you did on the earth without Jesus' forgiveness, and every even idle word under your breath or in your heart that you spoke, and it's all recorded in books in heaven. That's what the Bible says is there. And if you don't know the Lord, that should be enough to scare you into the kingdom. You know, I don't think that fear is the tactic that should be used very often, but that would get my attention. But the beauty of it all is that for us, we don't have to worry about that because it's gone. It's just absolutely gone. It says, verse 7, and when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan will be released from his prison. So when the 1,000 years is up, God will use Satan again. By the way, Satan is just a servant of the Lord. He's not a willing servant of the Lord, but God uses him as a servant. He just does God's bidding.
The book of Revelation is a good reminder that things happening here on earth have an expiration date. There isn't an indefinite amount of time for evil to persist. If you're honest, you'd likely admit it would be nice to have a reset, a clean slate, a new world of sorts. Well, did you know that Jesus is bringing this about sometime in the future? What a thing to look forward to. Like any blockbuster, end-of-the-world movie, there's always some culmination between good and evil. But guess what? The things mentioned in Revelation will happen. They're not just some made-up plot line to make lots of money at the box office. So keep grounded in the book of Revelation as we uncover more and more of God's heart behind all that will occur. Pastor Mark will continue next time in the book of Revelation. But before we go, we'd like you to know about a way that you can join us this weekend. At Calvary Knoxville, we have several services. We meet on Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. We also have a midweek service at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. Come join us and be part of what's going on here. Find out more at thewaymedia.net. You can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. Thanks for being a part of our listening audience. If you'd like to hear these messages whenever you'd like, download the Way Media app. We hope you'll continue with us next time in the book of Revelation, here on Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.